Kilo Delta 2, Apple, Charlie Tango, looking for QSA. Over.
Is it all your fingers or just certain ones? My ring finger and pinky, the ones that were in a cast for 8 months. That, from being in that long is, very little motion. Well, that and the pinky was the one that was broke as well. So those last two fingers weren't moving very much at all. The ring finger I can almost completely close. The pinky, well, from not being able to move at all, now it closes about a quarter. So I guess not bad for about a week or two. Not quite 2 weeks, about a week or so. Week and a half.
Wow. The other three are okay? Your thumb's okay?
Yeah, the thumb's other two fingers were never in the cast, so I was always able to kind of use them. There's not as much strength in them as I'd like, but until I get the other two fully moving, I can't do anything to build any strength in that and those fingers until then. But, they were always movable, even when they were in the cast. The last two fingers were surrounded, so they couldn't move at all.
Oh, dear, then.
Sorry, I didn't catch that one.
I said, how dare them.
Well, I had to keep the stuff from moving with the pins in it. You don't want to move it around with them in there. So, had it all supported. Anyway, that's how that goes. KB2JXM, KB2JLL for IDs, as the tones just went by. And, let's see. Other than that, just want to get done with job one, get done with job two, and go home. And I got to get up in the morning and help my son with volunteer services. And that's, from 8 to 1 or 8 to 2, I forget what that is. And I know there's something going on Sunday, but I can't put my finger on it at the moment because I'm still not quite awake. As you would say, no coffee.
KB2J, so, yeah. Haven't said that in a while. I wonder how Blackjack's doing. I wonder what he's wearing today.
I don't know. I got out too late. Usually I can hear the end of their conversation. But not this time. They were gone by the time I got out the door.
Yeah. Well, I took the power washer apart last night, and I was mistaken. The leak is not at the bottom. It's up at the top where the impeller is, and I can't really see it. Because somehow the other half of the clamshell is somehow bonded or bolted to, this unit up at the top, and I'm trying to find how am I going to separate these two, that half of the clamshell, the cover. So, hold on. I'm bringing it to work with me today. And me and the guy in the machine shop are going to take a look at it if he's got time.
Okay, well. All right, well, of course it has to be the pressure end that's leaking, right?
Well, yeah, I would say yes, but the thing is, it's leaking all the time, whether I'm using it or not. In other words, there's a pressure switch on it, when he senses the pressure that the thing turns off. When you squeeze the trigger on the gun, the pressure reduces, therefore the micro switch clicks back in, the motor turns on. So yeah, it's leaking out bad like gangbusters all the time, whether the thing is on or not, whether I'm using it or not. But it's up there, I don't know. And then this quarter-inch hole that I was talking about yesterday, there's one, two, three, four of those all around the bottom part of the unit, and I don't know if they're weep holes or what, but it looks like they're supposed to be there. I mistake one of them for a hole that was corroded through, but they're supposed to be there. I didn't catch any of that. I don't know if you're in a dead spot or what.
Yeah, I'm already in the low spot.
Alright, I guess I'll wait.
And transfer it over. So the gap has got to be as precise as the particulate. So, yeah. Sorry, you're not going to be taking this thing apart, pulling this blade and roller assembly out, and trying to put that back together by eye. It's not going to happen.
Oh, so how do you do it? Is there a jig or a machine that does that?
Yeah, back at the factory, we have a machine that uses three different frequency infrared lasers to do the X, Y, and Z axis to line the assembly up before they close it up. And, you know, basically they use the Doppler effect on the laser to figure out what's what and get it in position. You're not buying one of those and keeping them in your small little, 25-man copier repair shop. I believe the device is somewhere in the order of $18 to $25 million.
Oh.
So, what we tell you is you need this, any of these kind of parts in this development unit, you order a new unit. It doesn't pay for you to fix it. Just order the darn thing.
Yep. It's a distinct possibility. Well, if we're going to take this thing, see if we can get the cover off and take a look, then, we can, when we see it, we can make a better judgment on what we're going to do with this thing. The thing still works. It works, dead deer. Oh, two dead deers. Oh, boy. It still works. It's just that, the water comes out like gangbusters. So, I don't know. I just might buy another one because losing a lot of water here, When I operate this thing in the basement, I just put the unit right in the sump hole. And the spout, the handle cord, or up the output hose is about, maybe 12, 15 feet long, so it's long enough for me to, to do my thing.
Yeah, I understand. So, when the machine shop, and you get it open, and you can see what's going on in there, you might have stuff there at a machine shop to repair it. Of course, if it's something like you see a crack inside the housing that's causing that, again, until you see it, it's unknown.
Yeah, we got to get the cover off. But the clue to this whole thing is that the water is gushing out this crack or hole all the time. It does not seem to increase when I actually use the hose. The power washer, it stays the same.
Not knowing how the internal chamber design is, that might be right, that might be normal, because it might be one of those concepts where it's in within a bottle, so you fill up the outer pressure bottle, all right, with standard tap oil, standard tap pressure, and then... there's a inlet to it so that when you kick the impeller motor, that pressurizes an inner bottle in order to use it. So instead of being an upper half, lower half kind of thing, it could be the bottle within a bottle design.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, we'll have to see, and as soon as we do see, then we can make a call on it. You must be in the parking lot by... Oh, no, you were a little late. I got about 4 miles to go.
I got about 1,000 yards, but I got a stoplight killing me.
Just smack them. I keep getting these emails from A&P for their specials, and I can't use them anymore because A&P is gonzo. I think the closest one is the one on Valley Road in Wayne. I was talking to Rich, and I think it was Bob yesterday on the way home, and They said that Johnny and Hangie's opened up another hot dog place next to this A&P. So maybe tomorrow. Whoa, we got traffic here. Whoa, wait a minute. There we go. Gonna take my son there because I'm gonna have him today after work. Give them a try. I don't think I ever tried them. A friend of mine says, "Oh, yeah, don't you remember we went there 30 years ago? It was me, you, and G2, and I said, "No, I just don't remember ever going there. The one in Patterson, next to the river." And I said, "No, I just don't remember that." I'm gonna give them a try. I keep everyone raves about them.
Not sure. That's Johnny and Hanges, right? Not Falls View. I mean, I've had Falls View before, but I can't think of Johnny's.
Johnny and Hanges. Even my old girlfriend used to. Oh, they're terrific. Oh, we got an accident up here, I see. Oh, yep, that's an accident. Somebody hit somebody. Time to go. Okay. yeah, it's a hot dog place, so I'm gonna give them a try and see what. Falls View is really close to me, and they changed. I wasn't too crazy about them. They changed to Jersey Johnny's, and I haven't tried them, you know, even though they're so close to me. But I don't know. Maybe I'll try them. They don't just do hot dogs. They do a lot of stuff now.
Well, that's like, by me, I guess the hot dog place I kind of prefer. There's two, and there's a Falls View Grill, and then there's the Spread Place. I kind of like the Spread Place better. I mean, it's a little hole in the wall, but I just like his better.
KB2JXM. Yeah, Spread was always good. I used to work with a guy who had one of those hot dog stands with the umbrella and all that, and he says, "Sabrettes are really good, but you got to sell them, you know. You got to sell them everything in the one day, you know. Otherwise, they turn green."
Yeah, you know, like any of that kind of food, you don't want to sit there and cook it and then, and have it for another day. It doesn't work. Well, the one thing I always liked about the Sabrettes is they had a hot sausage, which was nice. And on that note, I've landed, so I need to run in the door.
Hey, sir. Have a good one. I'm about 2 miles away, so KB2 Jackson, be clear with KB2 JLL. Catch you Monday morning.
Yeah, you may hear me on during the weekend as I drive around a bit, but yeah, I should be. KB2JXM 73, KB2JLL is clear.
All right, Pete. Yeah, I might be driving around too, so I'll give you a shout. All right, take care.
Get to, so I'm going to. So how is your commute going?
But you're not going to the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, not so good, and as you know, I'm not going to the George Washington Bridge, nor would I want to on a day like this. I think I would go north and take the Tappan Zee and come down that way if I had to. I'm hearing anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hour delays now, so I can imagine traffic is backed up pretty far. And I'm on 208, and there's got to be an issue here as well. I made it down past the Gospel Church, and then it just stopped. So currently I'm cruising along at a blistering 5 miles an hour. And 440 just kicked on. And so it was going great, and now it's in the doldrums, as they say.
Well, you had to get off and cut down into, through Haledon to, or Hawthorne, I should say, through Patterson to jump on 21 that way?
It usually doesn't work because everyone else has got the same idea, and those roads can't take the traffic. At least here it's moving, and you don't have to contend with the lights and left turns and all the other stuff that goes along with being on the other side streets. In the 10, 12, whatever how many years I've been doing this commute out of Oakland, 208 has this ability to just kind of like stop. In fact, it's a Friday and I don't normally take 208, but I said, well, you know, let me take it today. I normally go 202 north to Mahwah and get on 17 and take 17 to the parkway, but today I said, hey, you know, it's a gorgeous day, I'll take 208. Well, big mistake. There has to be an accident or some type of, because normally even with heavy traffic, it moves along better than this, so. But I'm getting off in, I guess it's about half a mile, three quarters of a mile, something like that. I take Maple Avenue across to Route 20 that way through Patterson.
Ah, okay. Well, that'll be fine then. Traffic being backed up to 208, if, or on that portion of 208, very well could be because of the bridge delays. If they're pushing 90 minutes, that's about where you are. You're all the way down the entire length of Route 4.
Yeah, you may be right. But I will tell you, it's moving along about as slow as I can recall. And there has to be, like I say, there has to be an accident. So, anyway. Your little coffee get-together sounds like fun. I miss the luncheons. You know, I talked to Dick on, and finally, of course, in June, we were able to make that work. I'd like to make that work again if we can.
Absolutely. They tend to schedule them, though, on Thursdays, which is a little frustrating for me because I almost have a standing be in the office requirement. But if we do it between now and the end of the year, there's probably some Thursdays I can blow off, you know, under the guise of getting rid of the 15 days of vacation. Whoops, hold on. The 15 days of vacation that I have left. So I'm doing today. Well, I got to tell you, I'm going to take the next two Wednesday afternoons off for my son Jeremy's captain's practices because in the first 2 days I took off, I spent a day's worth of work for one reason or another. There was something somebody asked me to send them for a meeting. I did that, and when I went to do it, I realized, oh, God, this thing is all screwed up, so I had to rebuild it, so that took me half a day. You get the rest.
Now, this is Captain's Practice for which sport? W2TTT, this is WA2SST.
Well, let's see. My son is a chess player and hopscotch player, right? No, just kidding, I'm busting. It's high school hockey, captain's practices.
Ah, very good. And I knew, I know your sense of humor, so I knew that was not, that couldn't be right. Now all of a sudden traffic on 208 has just picked up again, and so whatever was blocking, and it's well beyond where I just got off on Maple Avenue. It, of course, just when I get off is when traffic starts to move, but that's the way it works, right? And, well, glad to hear. You know, hockey is such a small small circle. Just about everyone knows everyone in the sport, you know, so to speak.
There's some truth to that. Although it's gotten a lot more expensive, you know, as I've noted in my kid's lifetime than it was in mine. You know, when I was a kid, everybody knew everybody. If you played at one of like five rinks in Metro New York, I mean, or six rinks. It was crazy. When I was a kid, let's see, we had, you know, you had the rink at in West Orange, single sheet. You had a rink in Jersey City, a rink in Bayonne, if I remember right. I'm talking about I was a little kid, because it got better in the later 60s and 70s, but I was a little kid. Then you had the place the Rangers used to play in. The Long Island Ducks played in the place out in Long Island. The Rangers, I thought, played in a place like in Mamaroneck or something like that. I forget where the hell they played when they didn't play in New York. They had a practice facility or something. There was something. I don't remember what it was exactly. So my dad made reference to it, and I remember skating there once, just on a lark. You know, you literally could find all the real rinks, and that don't include Wallman or Rockefeller Center. You know, please spare me all that.
Was the place that the Rangers were at, was that in Rye?
Yes, thank you. It was in Rye, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think that the boom in hockey, youth hockey, was a function? I'm fighting to get over here. Interesting. Do you think that the boom in youth hockey occurred after 1980 with the winning of the gold medal in Lake Placid? Do you think that had a major catalyst?
Yeah, I absolutely do. Absolutely do. Not only that, but there was there was a time in the 60s and 70s where quietly a few more rinks started to appear. That's when Montclair built the rink on Chestnut Street, which was open air at the time. Then it became covered. Then it became closed, meaning covered fully with walls and such. That's a small rink. That's like playing in the Boston Garden, if you've ever seen that rink. That's pretty crazy. That's when the rink in Totowa was built before it closed. That's when the rink in Sea Caucus along Route 3 got built. And there were a few others. But, you know, there was a, you know, that's when Sky Rink in Manhattan got built up on top of the skyscraper back in the, I guess, late 60s, early 70s. That was a kick to play in. Take an elevator to the top floor, get off,
and go. I mean, it was indoors, but it was on top of a skyscraper in the West 30s. That was a kick at 2 a.m.
I bet. Yeah, you know, I lived outside of Saranac Lake in 1980, and they made available. I don't know if I ever told you the story. If I told you the story about my Olympic experience, stop me. In fact, let me ask you: have you heard my story on this?
No, I have. But there's also a rink, by the way, along 87. I don't know if it was Yonkers, but it's along. It's near where Stu Leonard's is now on 87 in New York. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. In the late summer, early fall of 79, the Lake Placid Olympic Organizing Committee made available to the local residents tickets first. We had, as they say, first dibs on the tickets. So my wife said to me, well, what do you want to go to? Now, my wife was born and raised in Lake Placid. I don't know if you remember that. But they made available the tickets. And she said, well, what do you want to see? And I said, I'd like to see a hockey game. She said, any particular one? And I said, well, there's none listed. They're just game dates. There's, you know, no teams or anything. I said, pick one. So she picked the U.S.-Russian game back in, it was August or September, whatever day it was. Whatever month it was. And so my father, myself, and my ex-brother-in-law journeyed into Lake Placid from Saranac Lake to see the U.S.-Russian game. I had the ticket stub, and what I wanted to do was when my good friend John Cunniff was the associate coach of the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City with Herb Brooks. I looked feverishly for that ticket stub. I know I have it. It's in the basement. It's buried with the move. It was obviously a treasured memento. And anyway, make a long story short, I couldn't find the ticket. I was going to give it to John so that he could have Herb sign it. And of course, now, Herb is no longer with us, nor is John, so that never happened. So, but anyway, I still have the ticket stub somewhere in the basement. It's like, you know, buried. W2TTT, WA2SST Mobile. By the way, if you listen to everyone that said they were at that game personally, there were more than 20 million people in that building.
I regret to say that I was not among those 20 million in that building. You know, we were up there last summer, and they're renovating the facility yet again. And what was really cool about it, you could just walk in and walk around the facility just like any other rink, you know, any other time. And there's nothing going on. On the new rink, there was guy was, you know, running a figure skating class for like maybe a dozen girls, you know, maybe ages, I'm gonna say 12 or so, and so they were doing all those little, you know, moves that figure skaters do that frankly bore me to tears. It's okay. I am not a figure skating fan. I don't care what my mother says.